This is First Up on TSN 1050.
You ain't first, you're last.
This is First Up. Every morning, come and hang on First Up. The only show that brings the band. It's First Up.
You're listening to First Up on TSN 1050.
This is First Up.
You ain't first, you're last.
Welcome into First Up for this Thursday morning, and what a night it was down at Scotiabank Arena. Aaron Karolnik and Dave Festchuk with you. Oh, Austin Matthews just scored again, Dave. 6 a.m. somehow. The game has long been over, but he somehow scored again. A hat trick for Austin Matthews. Now up to 13 on the year. Look out, Draisaitl. Look out, Ovechkin. AM 34 is coming for you, and the most publicized mustache in the history of the planet is gone, but the scoring touch remains. An 8-3 win for the Maple Leafs over the Colorado Avalanche, who, heading into last night's game, were the betting favorite to win the Stanley Cup, Dave. And, well, I guess Jonas Johansson is not their regular goaltender. Perhaps the worst goaltending performance in the history of the planet. And maybe I'm being a little bit hyperbolic to begin today's show, but what a performance from the Leafs. Let's not focus on Johansson. Let's focus on the Leafs. 8 goals, now winning 15 of their last 17 games, and maybe the juggernaut word that we bandied about earlier this week is actually applicable.
It is right now. I'll tell you that much, AK. These guys are rolling, and you know, they're doing it in such a compelling way. They're doing it in a way that looks sustainable. Like, it looks like, not that 8 goals a night is sustainable, because yeah, as you touched on there was some pretty ugly goaltending there too. But it's the way they're keeping pucks out of their net. You know, they're second in the league in goals against per game, which is unprecedented for this group. They're playing, you know, the special teams are in order. You know, the power play is 8th in the league. The penalty kill's 7th in the league right now. You know, everything that you kind of look at as coachable and improvable, they've improved. You know, all the things that have bit them in the you-know-where in the past have been shored up. And look, you know, you're only a month and a bit into the season, but
yeah,
and you got 5 months to go to the playoffs. You so you can't get too excited, but you got to get a little bit excited about this because it's something new.
I think you have to get excited, because if you don't get excited about this, then why are you even a fan of sports, a fan of anything in this world? Because this team is ripping off wins at a rate and a way that we haven't really seen in a very long time. I mean, they've now won 5 games in a row. They've won each of those 5 games by 3 goals or more. I mean, they are just smashing teams out of the rink. And last night was yet another example. And this wasn't some, you know, run-of-the-mill hockey team. And again, the goaltender for Colorado was abysmal. We know that. But this game was never close. It was 3-0 real quick. And yeah, Colorado got one back with, what, 0.3 seconds left, and you head into the first intermission. You're like, all right, well, Colorado could be staging a comeback back here. But, you know, Nathan MacKinnon returns from injury last night. And, I mean, I thought the Riley-Brody pair did an outstanding job against the MacKinnon, Rantanen, and Landeskog trio. And, you know, that's one of the best lines, if not the best line, in the NHL. There is so much to like about what we've seen from the Toronto Maple Leafs of late. But it always goes back to, for any Leafs fan, especially, you know, the most ardent, hardcore supporter, it's just like, I really wish this was happening in March and not on December 1st. And listen, you whatever. I don't think you're going to complain about being number one in the NHL, currently being the President's Trophy leading Toronto Maple Leafs. And as the Maple Leafs franchise, you are the Leafs historian. You have written a book on this subject. Like, I believe heading into this season, the most points in franchise history was 105.
Mm-hmm.
And they are on pace to obliterate that again, December 2nd. Put everything in perspective.
It's December 2nd, but it's been, let's talk about the guy who lost the mustache and has gained ground in a big way on the Rocket Richard race. Because you think about this month and a day, the month and a day for Austin Matthews that we just witnessed, gets the hat trick last night, his 4th of his career. You know, on November 1st, this guy was tied for 188th in NHL goal scoring with precisely 1 goal. Today, he is tied for 8th with, of course, 13 goals. Over that span, there's only one guy in the league that scored more than Auston Matthews. That's Leon Draisaitl, who's currently leading the league with 20 goals. But Matthews is catching up, man, and it's like the law of averages averaging out here, right? Because we were all talking about how when he had one goal on November 1st, you know, he was hitting posts. He was leading the league in posts. He's still leading the league in posts. Last night, he hit a post, and the puck went in. You know, instead of hitting, he's hit five posts this season. I think he's also, some of those aren't always documented. The guys that count those don't always get them right. I think he's hit a crossbar, too. That's not on the NHL.com site. You know, like this guy was just missing everything, right? He just couldn't buy a break over those first handful of games of the season. Now those pucks that weren't going in are going in, and we're seeing the majesty of Auston Matthews, but we're seeing it a different way too, that looks more sustainable. Auston, you know, Sheldon Keefe has talked about AK, how he wants this team to be scoring more goals from in tight around that blue paint area. And yet again, last night, Matthews gets two of his three right next to the blue paint, if not in the blue paint, with some pretty bad Colorado defense, you might say. But hey, you'll take him when you can get him. He's doing it against everybody. He did it against some pretty good Western Conference teams too. It's awfully impressive, and and the thing that I think is the most important, it bodes well for playoff hockey.
Oh, absolutely. The three goals that Matthews scored last night were vintage Auston Matthews. Think about the first where inexplicably he was just left all alone. It's like, oh yeah, we should probably maybe put a guy on the arguably the greatest goal scorer in the last 5 years. But no, So Matthews just kind of dangles and flips it top corner, beautiful goal. And the second one, he kind of cuts across and tucks it past Jonas Johansson. The third one's another vintage Auston Matthews off the wing, just a rifle under the right arm of the Colorado goaltender. So yeah, it was.
That's the one we hadn't seen in a while. We hadn't seen that real rifle wrist shot that you just go, wow, like nobody else in this league can do that. Or if anybody else can do it, they don't do it quite like that. He's got this special ability where the puck just explodes off his stick on those wristers. So yeah, it's really impressive to see what he's doing. Really impressive to see what Michael Bunting is doing alongside Auston Matthews and Mitch Marner, because Michael Bunting right now, you know, we were saying this, I know you've been a big Michael Bunting fan, big supporter
Scarborough, Ontario.
Of Scarborough's own. Well, Forest Hill zone Zach Hyman is the guy he essentially replaced as the running mate of the M&M line. And right now, AK, Michael Bunting with a three-point night last night, he's got 17 points. Good old Zachy Hyman, everybody loves him, he's got 17 points. How about
that's
that?
That's amazing. Well, it's been just, realistically, you slot in next to Matthews and Marner when they're as hot as they are, and Marner was awesome again last night. I mean, that guy was flying. He was dangling. He was just setting up opportunity after opportunity. You're going to pick up points, but Bunting's not picking up cheap second assists. I mean, he was very influential on all the points that he scored. It wasn't like he was getting cheapies. And
no.
He's looking really good. He's looking very comfortable alongside Matthews and Marner, and it's a spot that is perhaps as desirable as anyone in the NHL, and man,
of course,
taking full advantage of it. And I think on the other side, you look at the second line. Tavares and Nylander had amazing nights too. I mean, Tavares is on fire. And I don't know how much this Olympic potential is motivating him, or maybe we're just seeing a guy kind of maybe reclaim past glory. Mm-hmm. But I mean, there were times early in the season where people were the conversation with John Tavares always kind of goes back to the contract, right? Oh, was this the right allocation of money? Was that necessary?
Is he the right
fit?
Use
the money elsewhere? Yeah. Is that a thing? And it's going to be, that conversation will arise again at some point in the season. Like the Leafs aren't going to rip off 15 of 17 again. But at this current moment in time, I mean, you roll Matthews and Tavares 1-2 down in the middle. I mean, it's very difficult to compete with. And that's been alongside William Nylander, who again scored last night, a beauty. It was a perfect night for the Toronto Maple Leafs, really.
Yeah,
I know they gave up three goals, but Kadri scored a couple, which was good to see for him. And the third one, a meaningless goal when they're down 8-2, and he scores. But I mean, I'm sure good for the stat sheet. And Nassim Kadri continues just to pile up points.
Yeah, he does. In a contract year,
or not.
Yeah, and good for Nazem Kadri. He's gonna cash in very nicely, you'd assume, on this season, because it's going very well for him. But, you know, back to bunting, you know, you talk about, you know, everybody that's a winger in this league would love to be in that position, right? Skating alongside Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner, maybe arguably the best goal scorer and the best playmaker, or one of the best in both categories, respectively. But bunting's not just kind of, not only is he putting up points, AK, this guy's a disruptor. Like, he's leading the league, and he did it again last night in drawing penalties. He drew one last night. He's drawn 14 penalties. I mean, this, like, that's huge for this team, because they don't, one of the, you know, historically lamentable things about this team is they haven't drawn a lot of penalties in the Matthews, Marner, you know, Tavares, Nylander era. They've always been near the bottom of the league in drawing penalties, and they still are. They're still down in the bottom 10. But Michael Bunting, if they didn't have Michael Bunting, they'd probably be dead last in the league in drawing penalties, because he's been, I think he's got double the next guy on the list in drawing penalties on the Maple Leafs, or at least darn close to it. And that's vital for a team that is clearly, you know, going to rely on its power play as a big factor in its success.
It's been an incredible run for the Toronto Maple Leafs. They have won 15 of their last 17 games, and they are beating some of the NHL's best teams as well, including last night the Colorado Avalanche. So we'll hear from Sheldon Keefe, his thoughts on the terrific performance from his club, and Austin Matthews, what does he have planned today on his day off? A question that elicited quite the response from the gathered media. You're listening to First Up here on TSN 1050.
Muzzin dropping it off, and Matthews is back in, wheeling down that left winger shot. He scores! Holy Mackinac! The hat trick is in the books!
Back here on First Up, Aaron Karolnik and Dave Feschuk in for Carlo this morning. If you were fortunate enough to be down to the Leafs game last night, you heard this song 8 times. And there's a lot of fans who hate this song. Listen, I don't blame them. They hear it. Have heard it a lot over the years, but man, when you're seeing the goals go in left and right, like Austin Matthews was last night, you don't mind hauling oats. And I think it was a very special night down at Scotiabank Arena for Mr. Matthews. Mentioned it was his 4th career hat trick, and you could tell as soon as he got that puck in the third period, he already had 2 streaking down the wing. Jonas Johansson in net for the Colorado Avalanche, who were dealing with a goaltending situation before the game that was slightly concerned. And they had the near emergency backup situation with their Darcy Kemper's their starter. He was hurt at the last minute. So they start this Johansson character, who is just an abomination of a goaltender.
He's terrible.
Just really bad, really bad. And I don't want to take anything away from the Leafs, but man, this guy is just, you look at some of those goals, like the Engvall goal, the 8th goal that they scored, man, it's just like, let's put it on net, and it's probably going to go in. So
how does that go
a good
in?
Feeling, but Austin Matthews was loving
you'll
it.
Take it.
Oh, for sure. It was point night. It was point night from the outset. You get 3 quick, and, you know, you go from there. But Austin Matthews racking up the hat trick, and a question from Mark Masters about what Austin Matthews would do today following his terrific performance.
It's been a while since you guys had a full day off. How do you blow off steam? What do you do tomorrow?
I think that's none of your business. No, just relax, hang out.
Little Kawhi laugh there. Wow, should we maybe compare and contrast the two? But
I like that.
That reaction may have been a little bit, you know. It's like, all right, media, relax there. This is not a Chris Rock concert. Has Chris Rock been canceled? I don't know. But in any case, you've been part of so many scrums over the years. I guess maybe some media members tend to laugh harder than others.
Well, I think part of it is you're laughing because, yeah, anytime an athlete attempts, you know, the slightest bit of humor, especially given the fact that Austin Matthews and most of the Maple Leafs are, you know, generally default to pretty grim no matter what's going on, whether they win or they lose. They kind of sound like they're at a funeral at a post-game press conference. So anytime there's a bit of levity, you laugh. And then, of course, if there's levity involving the great Mark Masters, you laugh even harder, because Masters just tends to bring a smile to all of our faces. He's a fun guy to be around. So That's a part of it. Okay, give the media a break. You know, it's usually, you know, a pall being cast over the post game press conference, win or lose, in most buildings.
Well, I would say that over the last 24 hours or so, Austin Matthews' mustache has been a very significant topic of conversation. Listen, he raised, I think, $140,000 in shaving that mustache, and this is something, a accompaniment to his upper lip, which has been part of his life for a very long time. So, listen, good for him for doing that and donating all that money. It's awesome. But I don't think he needs the mustache anymore. I mean, clearly, game one without it went off without a hitch. And John Tavares was asked about Matthews and his mustache-free lifestyle.
I don't know, he won the Rocket with it, right? So, I mean, we can debate that. But obviously, I don't know if he's feeling a little lighter today. But, all three were pretty incredible. So, great to see him really break through with a big night around the net.
Man, life is good as a Maple Leaf right now, eh? It's just like all smiles, no worries. 15 of 17 and just blowing the doors off the Colorado Avalanche. Keep in mind, Colorado, and listen, I understand their goaltender was their goaltender last night, but they had won 7 of 8, and they were getting their best player back last night. It was an extremely impressive performance from the Leafs. It really can't be understated just how much they crushed those guys last night. It wasn't even remotely close. Colorado played a terrible game from top to bottom. Let's be honest here. They couldn't really have played any worse than they did, and that was magnified by the fact that they couldn't get a save. But the Leafs were awesome in their own right. All four lines scoring, and Matthews getting the hat trick, and just a perfect night, really.
Yeah, part of it is, you know, the Avalanche looked awful, but you got to start asking yourself this question here. We're seeing the pattern emerge here. The Maple Leafs are really doing a great job of making teams look awful, right? Like, they're a lot of what they're doing, they're not giving you a lot of room in the defensive zone. They're not gifting you pucks with turnovers in the way they have in the past, and, of course, in a way that bit them fatally in the playoffs against Montreal last year. So when the Maple Leafs aren't giving you much in the defensive zone, they're not turning the puck over and giving you odd man rushes coming back the other way, and then they're doing what they do on the offensive side of the puck, which is, you know, get it in there really well with controlled zone entries and then control the puck extremely well when they get it in the offensive zone. I mean, there's not a lot of opportunity for the opposition to score, AK. And then Jack Campbell's back there when they do get their chances, locking it down. So, you know, as much as you can say the Avalanche looked terrible last night, I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that the Leafs were making them look terrible.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up Jack Campbell, because I thought he was really good once again. There were some opportunities that Colorado had on the power play. Cale Makar, Nathan MacKinnon bearing down on him, and he made great saves to stymie them and keep that game at 3-1, because it could have easily gone the other way. And if that did indeed occur, then who knows how this game ultimately would have played out. But the Leafs, 8-3 win over Colorado. And we're going to, I'm sure, have this conversation over the course of the next 4 hours. The idea of complacency.
Sure.
You're talking about a team who's been as hot as the Leafs have been. And that's exactly what Sheldon Keefe addressed in his post-game commentary. And he's trying to add and trying to make sure these guys don't get a little bit ahead of themselves, right? That's like any coach would do when you have a team that is the hottest in the NHL, that is on a run. And we'd have to look this up. When's the last time the Leafs won 15 of 17? Like, yeah. I imagine it's been a long time. We know, was it 92 or 93? They started off with 9 or 10 straight wins, Dave.
It was 93, I think.
93.
Yeah, 93 and, yeah, like 10 straight.
That's how you start a season, and we know how the Leafs started the season. It was very different than that. But here's Keefe on the idea of keeping complacency out of their vernacular.
I think the fact that we've gotten to this point and things have rolled the way they have, the guys themselves have done a good job of managing that, you know, and ensuring that we just stay on it. So am I concerned about it? No, because the players themselves have done a really good job here of late. But at the same time, you know, there's a number of things that we can still do a whole lot better. And we're just going to continue to do that. You know, we're going to enjoy the day off tomorrow. The players very much need a day off and a day away to recover. I think we're still very much recovering from that road trip.
What could they improve upon? What is he talking about?
Well, I mean, look, you talked about how, you know, the Avalanche did bear down on Jack Campbell a few times last night in ways that a lot of goaltenders would not have been able to keep out of the net. So, look, they do give up, you know, some opportunities coming back the other way, like every team does. And I guess every coach wants to see, instead of, a handful of odd man rushes coming back the other way that lead to chances that your goaltender really has to bail you out from, he wants to see, you know, those minimized. And I understand that. I mean, it's going to be tough. I mean, and, you know, to his point about this team really needs a day off. Yeah, it needs a day off because the coach hasn't given him one, didn't give him one on the California road trip. And now
no
we're back
now.
In. Yeah, there's no. So, of course, they need a day off. And I think that's the question here is really, is this like, as much as this is amazing for the Maple Leafs, and it's great to see Austin Matthews doing what he's doing back in the Rocket Richard race. It's great to see the, you know, Mitch Marner buzzing and creating and Michael Bunting fitting in on the first line really well, and matching Zach Hyman with 17 points at this point in the season. The Tavares liners roll, and they had 7 points combined last night, AK. But in some ways, it feels like the Leafs are sprinting out of the gate when everybody else is kind of easing into the season. You know what I mean? Because they're so chastened by their failure, because they're so humiliated by what happened to them in the first round last year and what's happened to them in the first round of the postseason in 5 straight years, you know, they've got this incredible urgency to prove to the world that they're not a bunch of losers, right? And so they're trying to prove it in October and November and now December. But the problem is they can't prove it until May.
It's a very fair point. And we'll talk to Mike Johnson for Leafs Breakfast when he joins us at 7:45. James Duffy will join us at 8:45 as well. That's a fascinating thought. But I guess my counter would be if you win the Atlantic Division, you avoid Tampa,
yeah,
you avoid Florida, and maybe you get Pittsburgh in the first round, the New York Rangers, or Philly, which I think is, I mean, listen, at the least we're to, and let's not start breaking down playoff matchups. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but
wow,
if the Leafs play Florida or Tampa in the first round, at best, a coin flip series, right?
Right, but let's not get into matchups for this very reason, AK. They played the worst team
yes,
in the playoffs last year in terms of points in the regular season. They got the very best matchup you could get in terms of points in the standings, and they still blew it. So I don't care who they play in the first round. It's going to be a Herculean task to win historically.
Yeah, no, that is very much fair. But what a time to be a Leafs fan. It's unlike anything I can recall in that you should be just incredibly optimistic and so excited about this team, but at the same time, you're constantly reminded. Like, any cynical Leafs fan or any fan of, let's say, like, you know, you have a group of friends who, you know, everyone's got a Habs fan in their group of friends or a Bruins fan, whatever it might be. The response, like, wow, the Leafs are so good. They won 15-17. It's like, who cares?
Yeah.
Like, that's the instant response. Is that fair? Probably. But whatever doing right now,
you know,
it's been remarkable to watch.
Now, what you just said is true, though. Like, it's, you know, like, what? There's two things that can happen in a game. You can win or you can lose. And obviously, you'd rather win the regular season games because, to your point, it does theoretically make your life easier if you win the Atlantic and you get the more favorable matchup. You've got to believe, just as the law of averages is going in Austin Matthews' favor after he had a really low shooting percentage for the first month of the season. Now, you know, since November 1st, he's had a really high shooting percentage, and he's back among the league leaders, tied for 8th in goal scoring in the league with 13 because he scored 12 since November 1st. Just like that's evening out, you know, you got to believe that their playoff luck's going to even out eventually too. So, yeah, you'd rather have one of those teams you mentioned rather than Florida or Tampa in the first round. So I don't, you know, you can't disagree with that. Obviously, you want to see your team playing well in the regular season. It's just that we all know that no matter what they do in the regular season, it's not going to matter until they can back it up with some playoff success. But my point would be, I don't want to come off as negative here, because the point I've been trying to make since they reeled off that win streak on the road in the West Coast is that the way they're doing it is important, right? The way you win is important in the regular season. I think the way they're winning, being a very good defensive team, in fact, the second best defensive team in the league in goals against average, is a sustainable way to win, and a way to win that theoretically should translate to the playoffs, AK.
And I would argue that Colorado's, you know, scoring 4+ goals a game, and that's how they're picking up their W's, is kind of reminiscent of how the Leafs approached their game recently as last year. So, you know, I mean, Colorado's the betting favorite to win the Stanley Cup. Should it be the Toronto Maple Leafs? Probably by today, with all the Leafs fans getting in on the sports books and laying down their wagers, it will be the Maple Leafs. But we'll get an update on that a little bit later. It's the Toronto Raptors back in action tonight. Not the easiest matchup. Giannis in town. I will say Milwaukee did play last night, so it is the second half of a back-to-back for the Bucks. But who will be in for the Raps? Who will be out? As we know, Gary Trent Jr. and OG Anunoby and Ken Birch have been banged up. Will we see the return of any of them? We'll tell you next on First Up. First Up continues. Karolnik and Feschuk in for Carlo Koliakbo this morning. We have a pair of tickets, Dave, to see the Raps take on the Washington Wizards on Sunday. That's a fun game. I guess Brad Beal, is he still allowed in the country, or is that effective in January? Ah, I wish that was now, because the Raps could really use a Brad Beal-less Washington Wizards. Every hour today, we will provide clues to the identity of a current or ex-Raptors player. Once we reveal the final clue, you'll have a chance to call in and reveal that Raptor. The first clue, this former Raptor spent a portion of his career playing in Israel. Israel.
Okay. Know a few of those.
Yeah, there are indeed a few of those. And, you know, it is the fourth day of Hanukkah. There's a fifth day of Hanukkah. I haven't been lighting my menorah with regularity, unfortunately.
Why not?
But I'm just lazy, really.
Okay.
You know, I don't know. Well, I actually don't own a menorah either. I'd have to go to my parents' house.
Oh, I see.
Pick one up. I mean, that is just a drag, unfortunately. But, you know, shout out to all the Jews out there celebrating Hanukkah.
Happy Chanukah.
Happy Chanukah. My apologies for mispronouncing the holiday, the Festival of Lights.
Well, how's it going for you, by the way? Are you enjoying your holiday?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not really big on the religious aspects of Judaism, more the cultural aspects. Those are about my focus.
Does that mean the gifts and the presents and the fun?
Not really. Just
the fun?
You know, not really. Just kind of complaining about things. You know,
oh, I see.
My back hurts, my neck's tight. Those cultural aspects. That's more focus.
Okay.
So the Milwaukee Bucks, Dave, they're in town tonight, and they played last night a wild game against the Charlotte Hornets, beating Charlotte 127-125. Giannis had 40 points, 12 boards, and 9 assists. Should surprise no one. He was statistically dominant. LaMelo Ball had another huge game for Charlotte.
Yeah.
36 and 9 dimes of his own. But Milwaukee, they've won 8 in a row. They're the defending champs, and they're coming in to Toronto against a team in the Raptors who have not looked good of late at all. Like losing to Memphis at home. Keep in mind the Raps now a 2-8 record at home, which is very surprising to say
abysmal,
the least. And Fred VanVleet addressed that yesterday. We'll play the clip for you in just a moment. What chances you give the Raps tonight against Milwaukee, Dave, without OG Anunoby? Gary Trent is questionable, so we'll see if, and that's a huge part of their roster. I mean, Gary Trent in means Malachi Flynn and Yuta Watanabe don't have to play 25 minutes. So
of course,
that's very important. But you give the Raps a shot tonight, or is it staring 2-9 down the barrel?
Look, you know, the problem is you just said it. You know, they can't score right now. They had the worst defensive team in the NBA in the building the other night in the Memphis Grizzlies. They got 91 points against them, and you understand why. I mean, without OG and Gary Trent and Kem Birch, and as you mentioned, Gary Trent is questionable. OG and Kem Birch likely not going to play. That's 44.7 points a game out of the lineup. From a lineup, AK, that has the worst bench in the league in terms of point production. So there's no other options. Like, they have no room for injury. No room for injury on this team at all. There's nobody that's replacing those guys. And until those guys get back, this is going to be a struggle. And by the way, it's going to be a struggle all year, because on top of it all, the thing that concerns me most, if I'm a Raptor fan, AK, it's the way you're running Fred VanVleet into the ground.
I think that's very reasonable, playing 41 minutes in the most recent game. And listen, he has taken on a significant workload, especially with Kyle Lowry gone. This is Fred VanVleet's team, and he is picking up his usage rate unlike ever before, and that's something that is a pure necessity. I mean, we know how important he is to the Toronto Raptors, not only from an encore perspective, but he is the leader of this locker room as well. And sure he's not thrilled with what he's seeing from some of his teammates. I mean, he was swarmed by Dylan Brooks in the most recent game, and things don't necessarily get any easier tonight in the matchup against Milwaukee. You have some great guards who can really D you up, and that's going to be very problematic for Mr. Van Vliet. But you hope Gary Trent's back in the lineup, who's an outstanding defender. I mean, he can shoot the rock as well as anybody right now. I mean, he can really fill it up. So the Raps are going to need some help. This is a game you can hear on TSN 1050 tonight at 7:30 p.m. Jim Taddy, Nikki Reyes, and Josh Lewenberg with the pregame and postgame for you. Coming up on the other side, we have the Morning Scroll with our producer, Arad Osvandi. That's next on First Up. This hour, First Up, brought to you by Sokolov Lawyers. Seriously injured? Don't put it off. Call Sokolov. Visit areyouhurt.ca. They only get paid when you do. Aaron Korolnik and Dave Festchuk with you this morning. Carlo will be back tomorrow. But for now, we welcome in our producer, Arad Osvandi, for the Morning Scroll. Go ahead, Arad.
I saw House of Gucci recently. Very good movie, very well acted. A lot of fun stuff in it. So I was inspired by the fashion. I looked up some new fashion items. And apparently Louis Vuitton has added hockey gloves to their latest runway collection. Did you ever think hockey gloves will become a fashionable item?
That's interesting. You think maybe Austin Matthews might embrace that type of fashion, right? The Drew branded hockey gloves. Doesn't surprise me. You're always looking for new ways to create and innovate, and I think the fashion world looks to the sport of hockey as another way to do just that. So some hockey gloves, Louis Vuitton. Imagine they'll be rather expensive, but looking at some of the salaries in the NHL, I'm sure they could afford them.
Look, man, this does not – I guess – no, wait a second. Does this surprise me? Yes, it does surprise me because, let's be honest here, hockey gloves are associated with one of the, you know, most acrid, putrid smells in sports. The smell of your hands when they come out of your hockey gloves after you've been playing hockey, you get sweaty. That hockey glove smell, that is not, you know, screaming Paris runway show to me. That screams, you know, barn animal and, you know, that's about to die most days, right? So, like, the idea that Louis Vuitton would say, we're going to build hockey gloves so that you can sweat in them and then smell like a pig that's decaying in the back of the yard. I mean, like, I'm not sure this is really on brand for Louis.
Okay. I have a lot to process with what you just said, Dave.
Have you not played hockey?
Well, I understand, but, you know, your description is, like, to use all the superlatives that you use, impressive. Very verbose. Your vernacular, very, very extensive. The barn
a little over the top, I will say. I was just trying to say, they stink. Yeah. They freaking stink.
They do,
and
no doubt about
that. Why
would
Louis Vuitton want to be associated with a product that essentially stinks to high heaven?
Very fair question. Very fair question. You know, we'll have to maybe ask Mike Johnson. He's a former NHLer. He's a stylish individual. Maybe he has adopted Louis Vuitton gloves in his post-playing career. What's next, Arad?
Speaking of fashion, Mac Jones has trademarked MJ10 for the purpose of merchandising. But a lot of fans on Twitter are saying MJ10 is too close to TB12 and he should have done Mac10. So two questions for you. Is MJ10 too close to TB12 and should he have done Mac10 instead of MJ10? AK.
Well, I mean, MJ10 is his initials and his number. I don't see how it's close to TB12. What do you want this guy to do? Like, I don't really understand how you could possibly be critical of that. Yeah, I mean, Mac 10, you know, what is it, Mach 5 is the you know, how fast you go in like a fighter jet. But listen, whatever Mac Jones has going, like, it's all good, man. You're the quarterback of the AFC East leading New England Patriots. You're gonna go into Buffalo on Monday night and probably win, is my assertion. And there's some COVID issues that have popped up with the Pats recently, which is a little bit unnerving if you're a person who has already wagered on New England like myself. That being said, whatever Mac's got going on off the field, irrelevant compared to on the field because he's looked really good. He's probably going to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. And if you told me that earlier this year with what Ja'Marr Chase was doing for Cincinnati, I would not have believed you. But, man, after the 2-4 start that the Patriots have had, Mac Jones, that entire team has been awesome, Dave.
Yeah, they've been great. I mean, it does strike fear in the heart of the Buffalo Bills. And we're looking at Arod here, who's the biggest Patriots fanboy that we know. So we shouldn't say this, you know, maybe we shouldn't be too effusive about the Patriots with him in our presence. But, man, I know a lot of Bills fans in my life are absolutely terrified that the Patriots are essentially the better team now. And a lot of that's got to do with MJ-10. There's no doubt about it. I guess like, MJ-10's pretty – what's that?
Or Mac-10. Mac-10.
Well, that's what I'm saying. MJ-10's a little bland for me. Like, Tom Brady is bland. That's like – he is the definition of bland. So TB-12, as bland a moniker as you could have, makes sense for him. Like, if your name's Mac, shouldn't you go a little bigger? Like, yeah, like I like Mac-10, but like big – like, I mean, you got the big – I guess big McDonald's Mac. Sues you if you're Big Mac – you know, you got Mac Trucks. They'll probably sue you if you go with a truck motif. Mac the Knife. I don't know. There's something else. There's got to be something. You're the Mac Daddy. You're Mac Jones. Like, MJ-10 just kind of takes the fun out of your name, which is a fun name.
You know, Mac Jones' given name is Michael McCorkle Jones.
McCorkle? I like that.
That must be his.
That's one you don't hear every day.
Michael McCorkle Mac Jones. So that is his McCorkle. Actual moniker. McCorkle. That's what we should call him. Oh, McCorkle. What that. A touchdown pass. Jacoby Myers. Touchdown, McCorkle. Go
like,
pass.
That is good. Like, that's right up there with Eldrick Woods. You know, like,
yeah,
McCorkle Jones.
Underreported name.
I like that. McCorkle Jones. The first I've heard of it. First I've heard of it. Arod probably knew
break
that.
News.
Did he
yeah,
not?
Yeah. He's got a McCorkle tattoo on his right shoulder.
Yeah.
Tom Brady's on my right shoulder. Mac Jones will go on the left one day. With Matt Castle on
Brady.
My chest.
Yes. I love that. Shave your chest pre-prom night. Get the Tom Brady tattoo.
There you go.
Good to go.
Monday does feel like a prom night for a lot of us Patriots fans here as we reclaim our rightful throne from those pretenders in Western New York.
Oh!
And our final morning scroll of the day. This is my favorite story of the week. Barbados becomes a republic, breaks away from the Queen on Monday. On Tuesday, for their first action as a republic, they honor Rihanna with their, you know, new equivalent of Presidential Medal of Freedom. Does Barbados have their priorities in order, gentlemen?
Go ahead, Dave.
Well, I thought you were going to say that they were breaking away from the British monarchy and naming Rihanna the queen. You know, like out with Elizabeth,
yes.
Out with Elizabeth, in with Riri. And I would say yes. She is your preeminent citizen. She should rule the republic, and there's no doubt she probably will rule that republic with an iron fist.
Yeah, it always goes well when you have celebrities running countries, right, Dave? That's
right.
Never really happened before. I can't recall
never happened.
A situation in which that has transpired in human history.
Too far-fetched.
Oh, actually, I can indeed. Go ahead, Arod.
I was going to say California when Arnold became the governor.
Oh, I was referring to Donald Trump. That was my reference.
I was going to say, yeah, maybe it was the apprentice, Mr. Apprentice, becoming the president of the United States. That probably had something to do with it. But, you know what? I trust Rihanna more. I mean, like, she's legit. She's the real deal. She seems authentic in ways that the Terminator and Mr. Trump seemed kind of fake.
That was the Morning Scroll with Arod Osvandi. He'll be back at 7:20 for Would You Rather, coming up on this radio program. Back into Austin Matthews, his 3-goal performance, and the Leafs putting up a crooked number of 8 on the Colorado Avalanche last night down at Scotiabank Arena. The Cowboys and the Saints play on Thursday Night Football. Taysom Hill will start. Will Amari Cooper and C.D. Lamb play for Dallas? We'll tell you next. Oh, a very happy birthday to Britney Spears. How is Britney? Let's find that out. Someone sent that to me earlier. She's getting up there in the years. I mean, I remember, like, my grade 6 dance parties. She's only 40. I thought Britney, honestly, was closer to 50. I'll be perfectly transparent. Well, she's only 40. She's good to go. She's got some issues, though, going on in her life. Welcome back to First Up, Carol Nick and Dave Vestruck in for Carla Koliakova. Dave, can I get a Britney Spears from you, take from you?
Love that tune, man. When you that thing just that thing just hops, doesn't it? I was just bobbing my head to that tune. That is an all-time classic pop hit.
Mm-hmm. Great music video, too. Probably one of the most viewed music videos of all time, right? You would think that, you know, like, you know, in the school and everything like that, it was very popular. Very popular.
No and she's doubt. Free now, right? That whole conservatorship and
I don't know.
Dad that's controlling her life, I think that's all over now, right? She's, yeah, Rod and 20 Fingers are nodding. They're big Britney super fans. They've been following the whole court case.
Yeah, well, there you go. She is free. That's good to find out. And, you know, the New Orleans Saints fans are free of watching Trevor Siemian play quarterback, which is a positive for them, I'm sure. Although Taysom Hill, our man Koliakovo has been a Taysom Hill super fan for a number of years now. And he has reared back on that because Taysom Hill is not good. I think we know that in spite of New Orleans repeatedly giving him contract extensions a reason that no one really comprehends. But Taysom Hill will start tonight for New Orleans against the Dallas Cowboys on Thursday Night Football, a massive game for New Orleans. I mean, if they were to win, they would be firmly back in the playoff picture in the NFC, but a loss would put their likelihood of making it in a much more difficult spot. But for the Dallas Cowboys, a team that has lost three of their last four, and coming off that loss on Thanksgiving to the Raiders in that wild game, that was an amazing football game.
Crazy.
Back and forth, and you know, Dallas was missing both Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb in that game, and both will return tonight. And this is the first time in a very long time you've seen the top offensive linemen like Lael Collins and Zach Martin in the lineup, Dak Prescott in the lineup, Zeke Elliott in the lineup, and Cooper and Lamb. I love the Cowboys in this spot tonight. I think New Orleans is terrible. They can't generate anything offensively. They've been getting gashed by, you know, we saw what Josh Allen did against New Orleans last week. I love the Cowboys -4.5 this week. It's one of my top wagers of the entire slate, Dave.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. I mean, Taysom Hill is the issue here, isn't it? I mean, this is a team that can't find a quarterback. I mean, you've had Jameis Winston, you've had Trevor Siemian, and now you got Taysom Hill. Winston, what started the first seven, and they were 5-2, and it's been all downhill since, right? After Winston got hurt with the knee injury, I just don't see how this Saints team is going to, you know, pull it out of the muck with this kind of a quarterback under center.
It'll be a challenge, but it's another opportunity to wager on the NFL. I look forward to it. Like the Taysom Hill anytime touchdown prop at +240. You know, once they get
in the
red zone.
Are you serious?
If they get in the red zone, Taysom Hill will be running that rock because Kamara's banged up. Mark Ingram is banged up, and I think Taysom Hill will have some goal line packages that will yield a touchdown tonight. So that's
this
one of
is
my
Dallas. So New Orleans is a home dog. What -4.5? Is that the line you're seeing? -4.5
Yeah.
The home. I'm always intrigued by home dogs, but I just can't get behind this kind of quarterback in AK. I really can't. I guess the one thing about this NFL, how do you like the idea that, you know, you got a 5-8 team here in the New Orleans Saints, and we're still talking playoffs, right? Like that, do you like that, this new expanded playoff thing where, you know, bad teams are still in playoff hunts, you know, past the midway point of the season and getting into the stretch run? I'm not sure I'm getting used to it yet.
Well, it's like the opposite of Major League Baseball, right, where it's a very exclusive for teams to make the postseason. And yeah, the NFL has expanded it for one reason and one reason only, money. And we know that. And, you know, for a team like New Orleans and its fan base under the old traditional system, you know, they're basically done, right? I mean, it would take an absolute miracle for them to make it. But if they were to win tonight and move to 6-8, they are right there.
Sorry, they're 5-6, by the way.
5-6, sorry.
I read that 6-8 because my eyesight's terrible. Well, so, so you're right. They could be a .500 team after tonight. You're right. They could be a 6-6 team after tonight. But that's just, you know, that's the point of this. You got teams like the Atlanta Falcons are a bad team, I would say. They're 5-6 as well. But they're still
Washington,
in the playoff hunt.
5-6. I mean, it's not exactly the murderer's row. So whoever gets that number 2 seed in the NFC, I believe it right now would be the Green Bay Packers. they would have a very, very good shot to advance in the NFL playoffs. And I think that's kind of, you know, that's what you play for, right? I mean, Arizona currently in place for the bye. Keep in mind, there's only one bye in both the AFC and the NFC as opposed to two in the past. So getting that bye is paramount to one's success. Yeah. And for Arizona, getting Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins back this week at Chicago, which should be a game they would win, unless maybe the weather is absolutely terrible. And, you know, I don't really know how Kyler Murray, considering, you know, his stature and his warm weather preference, would perform in those type of inclement conditions. But that's a must-win game for Arizona if they want to have a chance to take down that number one seed.
I don't know. Like, to me, like, the whole idea of expanding the playoffs, and this is one of the things that's on the table in the baseball locket. Of course, midnight last night, we saw the first labor stoppage in baseball, AK, in a quarter century or so, where the owners have locked out the players. And one of the things that they're talking about, the owners really want to push for an expanded playoff, right? And I just don't know. I mean, we haven't we diluted the regular season enough in pro sports? Like I don't even know why we play 82 in the NBA and the NHL anymore. Like, we're going through this in the Maple Leaf season. They're playing all these games. They're winning a lot of games. But we're not judging them on these games. Like, these games, we essentially scoff at the significance of these games for 6 months. And then we're going to judge them on a 4 out of 7 series as to whether they're a worthy bunch of athletes, right? And I think the more you expand the playoffs, the more you dilute the regular season, I think the whole thing just goes out of whack. I don't get it anymore. Like, you know, it's I'm having a harder and harder time thinking, why are we doing this?
Well, what you say is an indisputable fact. You're definitely right. But the answer as to why you're doing this is revenues.
And you bring right. It's not my revenue, so I don't care.
Well, it's exactly it. If you're the owner, like, oh, sure. You know what? Festchuk said that we should reduce the number of regular season games. So, you know what? MLSE, yeah, no worries. Like, we're not going to take the 18,000 tickets sold and all the beers and merch bought at the Raptors games and the Leafs games. No, you know what? Festchuk, the sanctity of the regular season, he's right. Let's get to the playoffs quicker.
You know, well, look, I mean, look,
cynical
I think
view, that, but that's also the reality, right?
No, I do think, and I agree with you, obviously, the cynical owners that are just about money grubbing are thinking that way. I think the more progressive people, and I think the NBA has been the only league that's really addressed it as a problem for them, or a concern, maybe not a problem, but a concern, because they see, you know, in a universe where there's lots of competition for attention and people have, you know, I watch kids watch NBA games now. I mean, you go down to arenas, you see people on their phones during the game looking at Instagram or looking at Snapchat, and they're not even watching the game, and they paid for a ticket.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean? And so you got to, you know, you've got this universe. We're moving toward the metaverse where everything's going to be in some alternate reality. And you know what I'm saying? And you've got these games that essentially mean nothing. So Adam Silver's been the one guy who said, we got to find a way to make the regular season more significant, whether it's with a midseason tournament or some kind of, you know, the European soccer leagues have got it figured out because for whatever reason, they've been able to convince their fans that the regular season trophy, you know, winning the regular season means something. They actually get a trophy for that and they celebrate it. Here, you know, you get the President's Trophy in the NHL and people kind of laugh at you and go, ha, 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 that doesn't mean anything. You better win the Stanley Cup. And, you know, I just think the NFL seemed to me, to get back to our original conversation, it seemed to me the NFL had it right. They had the right balance where the regular season was super significant and most of the games mattered for most of the season for most teams. And now you're expanding it, and it's just like you got all these bad teams in the playoff conversation. I'm not sure that's good for football. I know it's good for the bottom line. I'm just not sure it's good for the product.
Well, we'll ask Ed Werder when he joins us at 8:30 for his regular Thursday appearance. Of course, Ed covers the Dallas Cowboys for ESPN, so we'll get his thoughts on the big night ahead for Dallas on the road in New Orleans, and we'll look ahead to the Monday nighter between the Bills and the Patriots. For my money, the game of the year so far in the NFL. But coming up on the other side, we'll get back into the Leafs, an 8-3 win over the Colorado Avalanche last night. Auston Matthews, a hat trick. Basically, everything went according to plan for the Leafs against one of the top teams in the National Hockey League. We'll break it all down in hour two of First Up next.